Inside Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like that dude just said. And it is Wednesday, 2:08 p.m. on February the 9th, and Copper is running the board. Hey, Miss Copper, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's happy hump day.
It is hump day. And do we have the camel?
We do.
Okay, I hope this is as funny when you can't see the guy, the camel, but go ahead, play it. I want to play the camel.
All right, the camel.
Day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Okay, we got to play that every Wednesday now. You know that, right?
Okay, yeah, I get it.
You got to tuck that away and just call that the hump day soundtrack. We got to play it every single Wednesday.
All right.
Okay, well, speaking of sound effects, get the triple dipper ready. I'll tell you about that stuff in a minute. 3 p.m., a friend of mine, somebody who I served in the state Senate with for 8 years, we actually sat next to each other on the floor of the Alabama State Senate for 8 years, State Senator Bill Holtzclaw. He was the state senator for District 2. And lo and behold, he can no longer stay in retirement, apparently. He is running for his old seat against current Senator Tom Butler, who, by the way, Bill beat to get the seat for 8 years. And so I find that extremely interesting. I want to hear his perspective, why he's chosen to come out of retirement. Bill's a former member, I believe, of the city council in Madison. And anyway, running for his old seat. We'll have Bill Holtzclaw on at 3 o'clock. You guys are going to want to hear from him. Retired Marine, solid dude. All right, 3:30, one of my favorite segments every single week, Copper's Corner. Copper will have her perspective, and she'll lay it out for us. But I got other stuff, too, called the Triple Dipper. Hit it, Copper.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. Three storylines for today. Three themes, if you will. The Triple Dipper for the day. Number one, civilized disobedience. That's what I'm calling it. Civilized disobedience. I'm going to give you a monologue here in a minute that deals with the same topic, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know that I've seen this much in terms of civil disobedience, people saying no to government, as I've ever in my lifetime, not since the civil rights movement. So, yeah, civilized disobedience. Number two, I'm calling it aiding and abetting in the drug wars. You know, when you're aiding and abetting the enemy, it's not good. Well, there's a whole lot of liberal policies and programs that are out there that are aiding and abetting in the drug wars. And then number three on the list, the war on woke. I mean, every once in a while I do one, I call it woke world, or I call it, you know what? This time I look at it, I'm saying, you know what? People are pushing back. In fact, this whole show, by the way, is on people pushing back today. Almost every single piece of the Triple Dipper is about people pushing back. And number three on the Dipper is the war on woke. But speaking of pushing back, I got to tell you, here's the way I open the show today with the monologue. So I don't know about y'all, but I saw several stories over the past few days that indicated what I said a moment ago. I've been sensing it for a while too, that people, real people everywhere, are getting fed up with government dictating their every move, restricting the basic functions of life, kowtowing to the public sector unions or liberal interests, and leaving the average Joe and Jane out in the cold. It's really something to behold, and I don't mean in a good way. But the story that really got me, the one that I had to post on my own social media, and of course I immediately drew the ire of several liberal trolls who cannot waste an opportunity to pound on a conservative. Well, that story that got me was the video of a Canadian great-grandfather, a guy named Jerry Charlebois. Jerry Charlebois, 78 years old. This Mr. Charlebois is about 4'10", believe it or not. In the video, Mr. Charlebois was being arrested and cuffed by two full-size Canadian policemen. At one point, the old guy went down to the ground. He was unarmed. He was wearing his plaid flannel pajama pants alongside his older model Dodge minivan on a street in Ottawa as the officers inexplicably jammed him around and took him into custody. And I couldn't help but thinking, this does not look normal. Like, what in the world could this old man have possibly done? His crime, you ask? Well, it was pretty awful. As the Freedom Convoy made its way past him in Ottawa, Jerry Charlebois honked his horn and gave them a thumbs up. So this is where I pause for effect. You heard me. He honked his horn. and he gave the convoy a thumbs up. You see, the mayor of Ottawa just recently enacted a citywide ordinance against, you guessed it, horn honking. Horn honking. I kid you not. You can watch the video, and there he is, bless his heart, with the officer confirming verbally that he has it written down in his book that horn honking is not to be allowed in Ottawa now. And so Jerry Charlebois was arrested, and two officers were seen escorting him to their squad car while passersby were shouting at the officers to please not do this to an old man. Well, I hope that Mr. Charlebois, who said the next day, by the way, how sore he was at being manhandled, I hope he becomes the poster on the wall of disobedient civilians everywhere, because that's where we are now. Civilized civilians conducting civil disobedience civilly. Well, not to sound trite or to make light of it, but this is a real thing, y'all. More so than any other time in recent history, we are seeing people conduct the very essence of civil disobedience all over the world as the various forms of government at local, state, and federal levels have all coalesced in some areas or at least operated independently in others to curtail the most basic of fundamental freedoms such as freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of movement, the right to earn a living. And before any of my liberal trolls want to bow up and say, well, the Constitution doesn't allow you to do certain things. You can't infringe on my well-being. Canada's not the United States, and other such lame responses. Let me just remind you that there are fundamental human rights typically enshrined in virtually every free society. As a lawyer, I can tell you that we often refer to such a body of unchanging moral principles as the natural law. Certain rights, which whether or not they are enacted by the black letter law of the society, are nonetheless enshrined in the natural sense by God, nature, or reason. I was reminded yesterday of something that happened when I was much younger. They still refer to it as tractorcade. During the Jimmy Carter administration, public policies were killing family farms, causing massive numbers of farm foreclosures. Over 3,000 farmers drove their tractors to D.C., jammed up traffic, and camped out on the Washington Mall seeking a change in policies. And they got the attention of the President of the United States. You see, Henry David Thoreau argued in his work that was aptly titled Civil Disobedience that a man must not, quote, for a moment or in the least degree, resign his conscience to the legislator. Thoreau also went on to add, it is of no consequence whether a man breaks the law or not in those type circumstances. These positions are antithetical to the overbearing notions of the state-worshipping progressives who have insisted for the last 2 years that we should just accept a perpetual state of emergency and an ongoing 14 days to flatten the curve. I mean, masks on children, sure. Churches denied the right to assemble, whatever. Businesses declared non-essential and shut down involuntarily, makes sense. Not anymore. Those days are behind us. As we move into the political season, even the most ardent of the left wing of politics in America is beginning to have buyer's remorse for COVID restrictions. At least some are. Governor Ivey has attempted to repent for shutting down businesses and declaring them non-essential. But there are still school districts right here in this state that are requiring masks on children in schools, despite the, quote, science being of the opposite notion. In other venues around this great nation, there are local despots who insist on seeing your papers before you can eat at a restaurant. Currently, even today, I watched as the Biden administration is still trying to defend masking of children and pressing for vaccinations for all as a mandate rather than a choice. So what are we to do? I'll tell you what we do. We begin to collectively say no. Uh-oh, did he just go there? Yes, he did. I'm not arguing for any rampant destruction. There's no call for violence here, none. But I am saying that business owners need to start saying, I refuse to be the mask police. Citizens need to say, I'm going to my church on Sunday to worship collectively like we're urged to do in Hebrews 10:24. School boards need to say, masks are at most optional. And teachers' unions should recognize reductions in force can be authorized if their members stage another sick out like they did in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago. If you hear that a group is organizing to stand in the public square and call for our basic freedoms, consider going down there and adding your voice. If social media shuts you down, then go to a different platform that welcomes your dissenting opinions. If the Canadian truckers inspire you, then send $10 to the Give, Send, Go fund being established on their behalf. Or for that matter, join the convoy yourself as the next one is preparing now to roll across the United States. Unless and until the people, the average Joes and Janes, the right side ruffians, have made themselves heard, we will continue to see overreaching arms of government restricting the natural laws that give us the right as humans to live freely. And if you ever run across old Jerry Charlebois, you tell him I got a right side ruffian t-shirt for him. And honk your horn for freedom. And that's a wrap for the right side way. I would too, man. I'd give that Jerry Charlotte boy a t-shirt and a heartbeat. That man's a right side rough if I ever saw one. And the video will make you mad. Now, was Jerry Charlotte boy getting worked up? He apologized when the press asked him, "Did you cuss that police officer?" "Well, I did cuss him, but I support the police. But I couldn't understand why they were stopping me. All I did was honk my horn." And it's true. The video is pretty obvious. Why does it take two large police officers to wrestle around and cuff a 78-year-old man who's only 4'10" and the two of them escort him to a police car? It's time, people. Got to start saying no. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.